Welcome to Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by the SOFI Health Team with founder Kaveh Mamari, herbalist Pamela Spence, and evangelist Vincent Boone. Together, we explore the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. SOFI.health, reconnecting people and plants.
A very warm welcome to the show this week. Thanks for tuning in to join our conversations about managing stress and the common issues of poor sleep and anxiety, the SOFI way. We're excited to bring you guest speakers who've inspired us, people from the world of medicine, plants and beyond, to examine different approaches to health and well-being. And our hope is that by having these conversations between people who would normally never meet, we can showcase new approaches and open up new ideas of healthcare, some that are pillars of the SOFI.health system and can support us all in new and profound ways.
Now, if this is your first time tuning into the show, you can find out about the SOFI.health mission by visiting our Listen on Demand page on the UK Health Radio website. Episode 1 kind of explains who we are and what we do. And from there, you can see the list of distinguished guests who we've had the pleasure of interviewing each week. Our topics have ranged from wild food to keyhole surgery, from managing your energy to compassion in medicine. At SOFI, we have a very special vision for health, and we have created a combination of plant extracts, an app, and an online community to support people through stressful times.
Last week, in episode 19, we welcomed Professor David Cassere, Professor of Palliative Care at Duke University and longtime advisor to SOFI. We talked about the very different perspective on health that palliative care brings, when the long-term effects of high blood pressure are not as important as how the patient feels and how they are supported to make the choices that are important to them during their last days. Our conversation was broad and really inspired us to think about the holistic approach he uses. If you missed that episode, make sure you go to our Listen on Demand page to catch up. Before we get into today's show, regular listeners will know that we've created a page specifically for UK Health Radio listeners who would like to join the SOFI community. And we have a special discount code for you, which is Radio50, and it gives you a 50% discount off the price of a SOFI pod. You can find all of this information at join.sofi.health/radio, or just go to the UK Health Radio homepage, click on our banner, and you'll get directly there.
So today we're doing things a bit differently. It's hard to believe that we only have 2 episodes left in this series, including today, and what a series it's been, with a host of fantastic guests who've really made us think about different approaches to healthcare. In this episode, we're going to have a look back at some of our own favourite moments and at what our takeaways have been. And then next week, we're going out with a bang with a really special guest, but more on that later.
Over this series of 20 programmes, we've so far spoken to guests like CNN and Fox regular Dr. Fab Mancini, lifestyle coach who talked to us about mindset and energy. We've had visits from our own integrative physician, Dr. Stephen Dharma, who has a real passion for plant medicine and spent time travelling to remote communities and learning from them. We've also had Trey Lowe, music producer, contest on The Apprentice and men's mental health mentor.
There's been Professor Jonathan Secure, pioneer of the keyhole surgery, Professor Jan Budenhoven, founder of heart-based medicine, and our very own Dr. Nikki O'Brien, psychologist and champion of the N-of-1 research methodology that celebrates basically difference between people. We also welcomed Simon Alexander Wong, the author of the Business Book of the Year in 2023, who explained to us how to use different types of energy to thrive.
From the plant world, we've welcomed godmother of modern herbalism in the US, Rosemary Gladstar, which was a definite geek moment for me. We've heard from Mo Wild, who lived for a year on a wild diet. And we've also remembered the magic of storytelling when Amanda Edmiston, herbal storyteller and collector of fairy tales, told us our very own tale live on radio. And those are just a few of our guests. It has really been quite the journey.
Although throughout that journey, we kind of lost our founder, Kaveh, for a while, as he was pulled off to give his attention to some other urgent matters, obviously running Sophie's business. But we're delighted today to have him back with us. So, you know, hopefully, Kaveh, you can bring us up to speed with what you've been up to. Welcome back, my friend.
No, it's good to be back. And it's been amazing to hear how this show has progressed over the last few weeks and few months to really give those different voices a platform. That's been a super important part of developing Sophie, is how we've managed to bring these very different disciplines and conversations that never speak together to build a platform that makes a really, truly unique difference. And I think it's interesting to see that come to life during this program.
So yeah, I was wondering if you could maybe, you know, take a few minutes and kind of, you know, maybe give us a little bit of a breakdown of what you've been up to, and kind of, you know, any Sophie related news you can share with us would be amazing. So yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, you know, we've been developing Sophie now for 3 years, and over the last 3 years, we developed a technology that as a platform helped to do something really special. It helped to map unique responses. And why is that important? It turns out that we're all a little different. And it turns out that actually how we respond to the same thing can be also a little different. And understanding those differences make the world of understanding what are the right interventions. I had an epiphany during the time that I was away that I thought I should share with you. And it was talking to one of our advisors. He's this amazing mind who spent 25 years in pharma doing external and internal innovation at places like Bayer, Reckitt, and GSK. And one of the things I should say is, having worked on natural and plants, it was never a rejection of science or the work at pharma. It was just that we wanted to do things differently. And I'd been looking at this graph for a very long time presenting it. It was a graph of showing the responses of our pioneers to our plants like valerian and passiflora. And of course, this graph showed, you know, how our pioneers were before and how our pioneers changed as they began to take ashwagandha, valerian, passiflora. And we had this thick average blue line, which was the sort of the average outcome for everyone, showing the average general improvement that these plants carried. And of course, we knew these plants carry them. Why? Because we got Pamela on this call and we've used these plants for thousands of years. So it wasn't shocking to find out that the real world evidence, yes, these plants are useful. But what was amazing was that below and above this thick blue line were hundreds of little green dots. And I was speaking to Colton and I asked him and I said, look, I want to make an outrageous statement, but can you tell me whether I can go on and say this? And I said, you know, all consumer health products, and I say the moment when I say all, I know there'll be like 47 counterexamples, but let me extend me this. All consumer health and pharma products are based on some average outcome across some randomized group. But the average outcome represents not one person in that group. And he said, well, yeah. And I said, so basically, you know, we've run now 4 studies. We've done 4 global studies. We've got experiences of 2,480 pioneers in 12 countries. And we're 99% certain that whatever average blue line we draw, your experience will be different. He was like, yeah. And I said, but the only thing we will ever market, if this product was sold as a consumer health product or a pharmaceutical product, is the average blue line to everyone who reads it. And he was like, yeah. And that was really interesting because it just showed the massive dislocation. And I'd been looking at this graph for a very long time, but we sell products to consumers and patients on the promise of the blue line. And what we know full well is that their experience will be entirely different. I mean, there is a very remote chance they will have the average experience, but our suggestion is they won't, which also means that we are the most integral part in our health and wellness. It means that the focus needs to move away from figuring out what tools we can sell generally to everyone with a generic claim that will most certainly not reflect their experience with it, to actually getting people to lean forward, give them the tools to understand their response, whether that happens to be a botanical or not. And it was just interesting because I'd been looking at this graph for nearly 2 years And I finally understood in a simple way what it meant to map one person's unique response to a product. And at the moment we can empower these unique responses, whether that is medicinal plants or other, it means that we can go from basically putting the emphasis on the intervention and figuring out what regulatory or marketing claims we can put around it, to actually focusing back at the outcome that somebody's looking for ultimately in changing how they sleep or feel or whatever they're after. And this is all about empowerment. And it was interesting to have this moment of epiphany, sadly having had to have stepped away from the radio program as part of it for about 3 months. But it was very interesting to see that. And you know, our focus, or we call application one of this technology, is the intersection of botanical and sleep. And the other recognition, so I wanted to share two things maybe. The other recognition was that not everyone cares about their unique response. Now, you might say this is deeply offensive, having developed, spent 3 years building this technology in and out and thinking, well, of course you want to map it. And the answer is like, no, I just want to sleep. And it was interesting because having spent 3 years developing this product, we thought, well, just to make this ready for folks, we just put a good recommended retail price on it and off we go. And the answer is not that simple, because it's good to know that I can map my unique response. I don't care. I just want to sleep. And so it took a little bit more time to deal with that one, because, you know, having built this technology, you think clearly everyone wants it. But actually, really, the need state isn't more technology and app, is sleep. And I think the way that Sophie is preparing herself, and I hope you don't mind, we know her only as her, and that's how we will always know her, is that we're going to give the consumer, the pioneer, the choice. You know, they can either choose to engage with us in the way that allows them to map their unique response in a discovery pack, or we might just create a simple sleep box, which is just the formulations and none of the technology. And the question is, well, why don't they just go buy it out of Holland and Barrett? I mean, there's a great ashwagandha, I'm sure there's many great ashwagandha suppliers. And I guess the answer is, I don't know, maybe they haven't gone through the same rigor of exactly where that plant was grown, how that plant was grown. Maybe the Royal Botanic Garden didn't run the liquid and gas chromatography, reject the first three harvests that were given to them because it didn't have any of the active compounds at the right levels in it. Or fundamentally, because there wasn't really a global study done that at the individual level, that particular formulation made any difference. So I think there is a real reason to remove. We've developed this technology and we have a mission to decode the 50 most significant plants. We now have a real reason to map unique responses. Why? Because they make the world of difference. But actually, when it becomes to the consumer experience, it is conceivable that actually some people are just happy to have a sleep box. And so for the autumn winter collection, there will clearly be the lovely ashwagandha, passiflora and valerian, which Pamela has spoken to so much. And for the spring summer collection sleep box, there will be some more amazing plants coming out like lemon balm, tulsi, hops and chamomile. But we will keep the sleep boxes fresh. We'll keep the material fresh. And what we will continue to do is to map the unique responses that make the world of difference for the individual person that is taking that plant. And I think what we realized is just how important and how integral that is in the experience that we have as we look for more sleep and calm. But I hope, Vincent, that gives you a little bit of thinking about how we've both understood what our technology meant, but also thought about how to get it out of the way of getting reconnecting people and plants, which was really what our mission was all about.
So great to hear you talk about that, Kavi, and explain it so well. And it's a lesson that I've learned time and again as a herbalist. Some of my patients, they want to know all of the things about what's in their remedy. They want to know all of the Latin names. They want to go and look them up. They want to know what my strategy is and what I'm working with. And other people are just like, just give me the bottle. I don't care. Just make me feel better. And it really reminded me, my teachers used to say to me, you know, you will find that some people will really want to learn and other people just want to feel better. And you have to always be making them feel better, whichever way it is, because otherwise they're not going to come back. You're going to lose them. So That's really, thank you for breaking that down. So the news hot off the press is that you will be able to engage with Sophie by just buying the remedy, if that is what you want, through our sleep boxes, which will be coming up and being released. Or you can go the whole hog, be completely involved and learn about yourself as that, if that is how you want to do it. Thank you for that update. So now, Vincent, I'd really love if you could take a little bit of time to share with us what you feel you've learned from the series, particularly thinking about your own expert area that you bring to the Sophie team, which of course is around building online communities. Tell us a bit about your feelings about being involved in the series today.
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, you know, it was, yeah, kind of came as an idea that we were bandying about, you know, should we do, you know, a radio show about people and plants. And I, you know, I think we've really succeeded in that, right? That thread of, you know, a dialogue about plants has run through every episode. And the beauty for me has been that it's been such a diverse set of people, right? They've all approached people and plants, but from all of their own different directions, where some were very clinical, some on research, some, you know, in herbal medicine, but yeah, also through stories. And, you know, yeah, it's that whole collection of people, so diverse and so amazing, that was, you know, really eye-opening for me. And I think we have lots to choose from, right? But just 2 weeks ago, as an example, we had a great conversation with our own Dr. Nikki O'Brien. And there she was talking about the benefits of group identity, which is, of course, something that is really important for me in my work. Because online communities, what are they? They are essentially groups of people online, right? And the more identity you can give them, the tighter knit they become, right? They feel they have a role within a larger group. So often a community consists of smaller subgroups, right? And yeah, that really depends on the kind of, you know, interests people have. But you kind of, like, as a community manager, you kind of actively work on creating these types of group dynamics. Because it's really helpful in what I call kind of like establishing the rules of engagement. You know, how people act and express themselves. And if you do that consciously, right, and you really direct that, then you kind of like create a certain, you know, kind of like unwritten rules on how to behave. And people, when they see that, when they see people interacting in a particular way, they unconsciously adjust their behavior to be in line with what the rest of the group does, right? You know, at the end of the day, we're all kind of like herd animals, I guess. And you kind of, you know, we automatically don't necessarily want to stand out. So if you create these groups that you make sure are very positive, And I think we can, you know, the next bit, actually, the next idea I had on what was a great, you know, kind of contribution to my mind was the incredible conversation we had with Professor Jan Bonhoeffer, the founder of the heart-based medicine, right? His vision was all around compassion. So with these kind of groups, if you make compassion central to what people are doing, which we've really seen, right, in our own Sophie community, right, we've really seen those benefits time and again, where we see our members who have taken on the cues that we've sown, right, within our community, all right, by showing compassion openly ourselves, that they then also start doing it with each other, right? And so now we get that really nice kind of like combination of we setting great standards and examples, and then a community member kind of like taking that over, other people kind of like seeing that and doing the same thing, and therefore creating really kind of like nice safe havens in an online kind of setting. And we even see them having lots of compassion with us as well as a product, right? As Sophie, as the team that is creating it, right? Our journey from concept to product, right? There's been a lot of like forgiveness in that, right? And of course, you know, things go wrong and, you know, us trying things out and you know, people really think along with us, Right. So I think a lot of the concepts that we've seen come up in the various different episodes and the various different researchers that we've had on the show, they really connect quite closely with a lot of the work that I do. So those for me are kind of like prime examples of, concepts that came out of the show that really apply to my own kind of like, world, so to speak.
There's some really great insights there. Thanks, Vincent. And it's really, really nice actually to have some time today to sort of unpack and think about the series so far, because of course we all come with our own areas of expertise and we all have our own angles on what we're seeing and what we're hearing. So thank you for that. And we'd love to continue this conversation with everybody. So please do stay with us because we'll be right back after this commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink, perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active, available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. A quick reminder before we dive back into the conversation to visit our special landing page for UK HR listeners at join.sophie.health/radio for all the information you need to join us and, of course, your special 50% discount code, Radio50. Before the break, we heard Kaveh give us a little Sophie update. We spoke about some learnings that we've had and how we're looking to basically bring the product further to market, having two different versions of it. One where people are obviously always welcome to use the full suite of products that we've made for Sophie, and you can track your own sleep and how you are reacting to the various formulations that we create. And we'll probably have a pack that you could buy off the shelf at Boots or something like that, which will still give you access to all of the digital side of things. But maybe if you don't want to and you just want to take the formulations, you can. And I gave a little breakdown of some of the things that I had learned throughout the show. And I kind of want to continue on that vein. So I want to actually pass the mic on to Evie. It'd be quite nice to hear a little bit about these 20 episodes that we've done together, and what you've potentially learned, picked up, thought about, what made you kind of like tick in all these episodes.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I think the place to start would probably be the very beginning of my journey, which was when I was asked by Pamela and my dad, Carvey, to be on this show. First, I was very like, okay, no. But I thought about it and I was like, okay, I'll try. Because, thinking about speaking on a live show in front of people really put me off because I am someone that struggles with social anxiety, and I was just like, I'm gonna mess it all up. I can't do this. But I was like, I'll push through and I'll get through my episode and we'll see how it goes. To be honest, my first episode, listening back to it, I think I talk so fast. I'm like, you can tell I'm kind of nervous, but I got through it and that's what matters. And it was the best decision I did. I'm so happy that I did push through it because I have had such amazing opportunities. I mean, I'm only 17, but I've talked to people that I would never have had the opportunity to have this conversation with, and it's been really incredible. It's like really opened my eyes as to what kind of a medical field, but not traditional, could kind of look like. It's always been something that I wanted to go down. I always knew that I wanted to help people, but I never really knew how I wanted to do it. To me, that was just going through, the traditional pathway of what every under 18 is expected to do. Go to school, study, get your A levels, probably in the psychology area, which I am still doing because that's kind of the base that you need. But I now know that I don't have to just do psychology in the form of like an A level textbook, because these people, they have so much knowledge about things that you are not taught in school. You have no idea that these professions like exist, but they do. And that's really like built up my confidence, because I was getting very confused before the show, actually. I was like, what do I actually want to do? Because it's scary when you're this age, you really have no idea. And I'm like, okay, I think I want to do this, but do I want to commit to uni funds? And then, but what if I don't want to do that after 2 years? And that is scary. It's a very scary thought. And it feels like a lot of pressure to make your mind up for your whole life at such a young age with such little experience. But I'm so privileged to have, had that experience in this show that now I have so much more idea. Ultimately, what I want to do is help people, but there are so many ways that I had no idea you could help people. Like, this is all in technically the same field, but every guest we've had is so vastly different. And it's just been so eye-opening. And like, it's just made me so excited for my own future, because I'm like, oh, I could be so many things, which I always know I knew I could, but not to this extent. I didn't even know these things existed. Like, I had you just never taught, which I think is a shame. And another thing that I would take away that I would kind of want to change is kind of the kids in school are not taught about what they can be. You have the traditional jobs, you have nurse, doctor, lawyer, so on. I did not know what palliative care was. I did not know what heart-based medicine was. Like, you don't know these things. You have to do the research yourself, which is a shame because I think it should be open for anyone to find out, because you're made to think that if you don't fit into one of those categories of I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I know what I want to do, you're lost. And it's very, very stressful, very like, it can fill you with a lot of anxiety and kind of dread about your future, because you feel like you're going to be the failure, because other people around you, they know what they're studying, they know what they're doing, but you don't want to do just those four set professions that kind of school pushes you down the road to. So I think it's absolutely great for me, and I hope maybe some other younger people listening to kind of open their eyes as to what their future could look like, especially in like a healthcare kind of setting. And I would say my ultimate takeaway is I really hope that my story, which is what I kind of came into this show sharing, resonated with like at least one individual, one person that I could have helped in these 20 episodes. That's all I really want from this. If I can have one takeaway, it would be that. Because I want them to see that, they are strong. You can get through hard times, like no matter how impossible it may seem. Like, just to think a few years ago, and most of my different sections of my childhood, I was pretty certain that my life would be ending and that was it for me. But now I'm here, I'm talking to incredible people, and I can't wait to see what my future will look like. So yeah, I hope people can know that they can grow from that, and that isn't a defining thing. And if anything, it's not a defining feature for me, but I've embraced it. I've not tried to hide it, because it is a part of me. My story is a big part of me, but I've used it to grow. I've used it to be on this platform. Without that story, who knows, I may not have been on this radio today. Like, I have my baseline. I have something to start with. And instead of being ashamed of that, I can use it to my strength. Even though when I was going through it, I thought it was shameful and something that I'd always want to hide. Now it's something that I'm so happy to have shared with the world, and I hope it can reach someone, and I can't wait to see what I can do with it in the future.
Evie, that was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you trusted us and said yes, that you would come, because you have absolutely made this show in terms of being the person here who has the experience. And I tell you, there is a person who you have helped, and I know them personally, and that's my little boy. Because in episode two, I think you said, stop telling children who are anxious that they're fine, because then they know that they're not fine, and they just think there's something wrong with them. And I realized that was something I was doing, because I was trying to cope with his social anxiety in that way. And I stopped that day. Every time I go to say it, I hear you in my head saying, don't tell me. And if I've messed up, and then I'll say, I'm sorry, no, I know you're not fine. And it's you that's in my head. So I'm sure there are many other people that you've touched, but you have absolutely changed things in this household, and you have changed the way that he is now able to explain to me how he feels when he is anxious. And that is no small thing. And that's just under my own roof. So thank you.
That makes me so happy. Thank you. I'm very glad I could have done something. And now, Pamela, what about you? What have you learned during the series?
Oh, gosh. I've learned that I like it when guest speakers turn up on time on the call. That's what I've learned. As the person who took on producing this show as my role, because my background is in the media before I trained to be a medical herbalist, that has been one of the most stressful things. So you get a gold star and a tick, all those guest speakers who checked in the morning and then turned up on time. So what I've learned about the content, though, I think, is that, you know, being a herbalist, we're kind of, quite often we're automatically at odds with the medical establishment. And sometimes that's not coming from our side, but sometimes it is coming from our side. So sometimes we come across doctors in the medical establishment who don't really know what we do. And they are kind of concerned that we, you know, dance around cauldrons with pointy hats. They don't really understand that we have medical training, or they think it's substandard, or they think we're not safe in some way. And so sometimes we're a little defensive. I recognize that in myself when I meet someone who is a doctor. What has been so lovely about this series is that I've realized how many people working in the medical establishment with whom I have a lot in common. So for example, our own Stephen Dahmer and his love of plants. So how he uses them really differs from the way I use them, but the respect is there. And we, you know, both times he came on the show, I could feel the conversation, you know, could have just taken off and gone on and on as we were talking from our different perspectives about plants and using plant medicine. And knowing now that he is the new director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine in Arizona, teaching the integrative medicine practitioner of the future, so they do have some courses which are for the public and professionals, but also they train doctors to become integrative practitioners. To know that the person in charge of that place is not looking at plants in a reductionist view, which is often, unfortunately, what I come across, which is plant medicine's great. Here, let's take the one chemical out and really focus on that and turn it into a pill. And oh, there we have a pharmaceutical again. So to know that he doesn't look at plant medicine in that way, but he understands all the plant chemistry. If you remember the conversation that we had around his experience with coming across coca as coca leaf tea, when he was in the Andes, I think, wasn't that? And having to rethink his relationship with that plant. And when we talked about teacher plants like tobacco and coca and marijuana and lots of other ones, when they have been and even talking about sugar, apples is a really very healthy food, but when you distill that down to one chemical and take that, how damaging it can be. So just knowing that he's in his new role now, that he is in charge of training the integrated practitioner of the future, and that he looks at the whole of plant chemistry and beyond that, the cultural ties to the plant, and he sees that that's important. That really, really makes my heart sing. I also learned a lot about palliative care from David Cassaray. So he really opened my eyes to a whole new approach to medicine that I really didn't know anything about. And that, just realizing that when you reach end of life care, as he put it, blood pressure readings are less important, and how you feel is actually the most important thing, whether you're being listened to, that idea of holistic healthcare coming, but also hearing how he was quite a trailblazer, and I think Stephen Dammer is too. So the people that we brought in, to speak, by their very nature are trailblazers, and they tend to look at things really differently. It's been really nice to hear about those perspectives. So that holistic care coming into the palliative care, but also, yeah, that whole plant chemistry being how Stephen is looking at plants too. And I tell you, another person I learned a lot from was Stuart Fletcher. So he's the ex-CEO of Bupa and also an advisor to Sophie. And he was talking about the effort to change, what effort it takes to really change culture. And he was talking about that there's really no room for preventative healthcare in mainstream medicine. And I think that we spend a lot of our time being quite negative about that and talking about, oh, they should be doing this, or why are we not doing that? And the way he just very simply said that there just isn't the headroom for that because they are consistently firefighting. And actually really seeing a role for or companies like Sophie, for example, or in the work that I do myself as a herbalist, for coming in and taking up that slack where there just isn't any in the mainstream healthcare. And his idea of getting workplaces involved and really changing culture, I find that really interesting. And I was thinking, I remember when we were talking on the show, and I said that actually, we've done it with environmental issues. So recycling, for example, we wouldn't ever imagine, if you were office based, for example, you wouldn't ever imagine shoving all of your rubbish into one bin anymore, would you? Like, culturally, that just feels completely wrong. And yet it's not that long ago when, we were trying to work very hard to get people to think about putting their paper in a separate bin to their tin cans or whatever it was. So I feel like that, but the huge effort it takes to get that kind of thing to happen has been has is yeah is something that we haven't really thought about
And do
before.
you think, Pamela, from the things you've heard, there's a shifting sentiment from seeing the world as either sick or healthy to seeing the world more on a continuum and to begin to see what can we do to actually improve the healthy portions of our lives and to live better lives and to focus less on disease management as the only method of the only reason why we want to focus on our health, only when it's broken.
That's a really good point. I feel like, yes, there is. And I think it made me think there of something that Fab Mancini said. And he said, actually, what he sees is coming out of COVID, particularly that for some people, they lost trust and they decided to do it for themselves. For us in the UK, so Fab Mancini is based in the US. For us in the UK, I see it because I see people unable to access healthcare in the way that they were pre-COVID. So, for example, 10 weeks to get a GP appointment and suddenly not seeing GPs very much, and a real patchwork of services being available, some services never coming back online. And I feel like in dentistry in the UK, we see the same thing. Like, oh my goodness, how hard is it to get to see a dentist these days? I feel like people are being pushed to take matters into their own hands. And with that, because they don't want to get to the point where they need the sick care, because that's firefighting.
Yeah.
They're actually starting to do things proactively because they don't ever want to get there. I definitely see that. Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's definitely been a change. And that hooks back really nicely to what Fab Mancini was saying as well. Yeah, thanks, Cavi. So, okay, we've had a chance to talk through what we've all learned. We're going to come back and talk about some of our favorite moments in the rest of the show. We're also going to meet another Herbal Hero of the Week, and we'll be talking about our guest speaker for our final show of this series, who will be joining us next week. So we'll be back right after this commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plant dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health on UK Health Radio. And now it's time for the Herbal Hero of the Week. And this week it is hawthorn, one of the spring blossoms that you'll start to see very shortly in the hedgerows. And if you're pretty far south, you may already be seeing it. So hawthorn is an extremely important indigenous medicine that's used to support our blood pressure and our heart health. And as we've seen before in the series, this clever herb is one of the ones that has the ability to balance blood pressure, meaning it can reduce moderately high blood pressure, and herbalists also use it to raise low blood pressure. This is an ability we find a lot within herbs, although it seems a bit counterintuitive. And it's because herbs normalize function rather than pushing, particularly in one direction or in the other. So hawthorn's been shown to increase the strength of the heartbeat while also increasing the rest between beats, meaning that the heart beats more efficiently. And it's also an excellent remedy for relaxing nervous tension, both for the physical and also the emotional heart, because it's a lovely and calming herb as well. It's known as Queen of the May, and the maypole originates from this connection. And hawthorn's really strongly linked with witchcraft and the fairy realm and otherworld Celtic mythology, particularly in the British Isles and in Europe. And there's a really rich collection of stories about otherworldly encounters around the tree, because her snow-white blossoms look a bit like a bridal gown. gown rather, and she is tied in with the greening of the land, which is what's happening when spring is coming. I'm quite sure if you looked up Amanda Edmiston at Botanica Fabula, who was one of our guests a few weeks ago, you would find that she's got some stories around hawthorn for sure. So it's no wonder that hawthorn's traditionally been used in rites like Beltane, for example. So the greening of the land, fertility coming back to the land, all of those kind of things. And from the white blossoms in the spring to those fatty, rich berries that you see in the autumn and the winter, hawthorn has been used in loads of recipes. The blossoms mostly enjoyed as a cordial or maybe a simple infusion. Most of the recipes turn to the red berries, though, which make hawthorn ketchup, which is a forager's favourite. I think Mo Wild talks about that a few times in her book. And of course, hawthorn brandy, which is a really lovely thing that I make every year and keep a bottle back to gift at the winter solstice the year following. So herbalists use this herb as a tea and as a tincture, but I particularly like to tincture the blossoms in the spring, and then I take off the liquid and I add the berries to it in the autumn, which means that the medicine that I make, it really captures the whole essence of the plant, because some of the constituents that are present in spring are not always present in autumn or are present in different levels. But one of the things that really manages to convince me that spring is here to stay is to pick sort of four or five fresh blossoms from the hedge and add them to a mug of hot water in the morning, directly in there, instead of reaching the same old tea bag that I usually do. It's really calming, it soothes my nerves ahead of the day, and I know that my circulatory system is being looked after as well. So keep an eye out for the hawthorn, but mind out for the thorns, because they really do hurt when you're trying to pick the blossoms and you end up getting one in your finger. I know this from long experience. So that's the herb of the week. And now let's find out about the team's favourite moments in our radio series so far. So Kaveh, how about you go first? What are your two favourite moments of the series?
Well, I have to say, one of my favourite moments is the one that's about to happen now, because it hasn't happened till before and it's not scripted. So we will get to hear it live. But I've always been curious to ask you, Pamela, what's your view on psychoactives and do you grow your own?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's nothing like putting you on edge, is there? once again, we've proven that this is live radio. Psychoactives. Are you being serious or are you winding me up?
Well, I just thought, like, how you respond to this will probably be one of my favorite moments of this program. So
I hate you. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that I think a psychoactive is anything at all that affects your brain. Mm-hmm. And so that involves both caffeine and our lovely calming constituents like the GABA that's in the valerian, like being affected serotonin. So everyone talks about psychoactives and they all think we're talking about hallucinogenics. And I would have to say for me, absolutely not. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, there was a law passed in the UK a few years ago when they were talking about legislating for any plant or substance that had an effect on the brain. And the herbalists, the medical herbalists and our national institutes,
like everything.
Well, we really had to push back on this law because actually, quite seriously, it could have put us completely out of business and the whole study and work of herbal medicine may not have been allowed to continue because even caffeine has effects on your brain. So somehow the outcome of that went in our favor because we couldn't, you know, you couldn't possibly police that. So I would say in terms of hallucinogenics, do I grow my own? No, I do not. Also, I don't work with them in practice. But psychoactives, well, for those of you who can see a screen and see us on our social media clips, you'll see that behind me is my dispensary. There's a whole lot of psychoactives in all of those bottles bursting to get out. And yes, absolutely, I would use them in practice because we know that herbs can affect your brain function. And I think we've pretty much proven that through the Sophie studies.
Well, dear listener, what you fail to see is Vincent has had the largest grin on his face, I think, since I've seen for the duration of this show. And I would
say, there's an unwritten rule that you never put your colleagues on the spot on live radio, right?
Well, only do it live, right? So you can't prep for it. I thought that was
only
the
when you're at the other end of the country, so I can't kick you under the table. Also, thank you for that.
And I would say, look, if I had to pick another moment, was the first moment where you suggested to me who the additional guest should be, and I thought you were mad, and I was no idea that you were thinking. I was thinking, what are you thinking? Like, why do you need to speak to me? Clearly, you can pick whoever you want to be a host on the show. And when you suggested Evie, and I just thought, that's so odd, and it's so amazing at the same time. And then hearing Evie talk, so I am naturally conflicted as a member, as a listener to your program. I am conflicted because she is very special, and she is mine, but I'm also conflicted because I have no idea what she will say every time she will come on radio. And even today, what she offered, I think at the end of it, I don't know what to say when she finishes talking. I didn't need to have Vincent's break on my line to have nothing to follow after Evie finished talking. And I think whenever she does that, she blows me away. And there have been a few of those moments. So thank you, Pamela, for suggesting this special guest to our show and for being such a great, great sport with pulling it all together.
You're very welcome.
Now, who else has had some amazing moments they want to share?
Okay, so I'll go next. I have a lot of favorite moments, but one of them was Professor Jan Bonhoeffer, who we've spoken about a couple of times, the founder of heart-based medicine. When he shared the moment that he realized there was more to healthcare than just delivering medicine and engaging the analytical brain, and he described sitting with that family and holding the hand of their little girl as she left her body. Wow. And it gets me, it catches my throat even now. I felt like, I know on radio we're all taught to be very quiet and make sure there's no background noise, but literally you could have heard a pin drop. I will never forget that story ever, I don't think. And it's so incredible that he speaks with such a soft voice as well. And I just felt us all really lean into that and really share that moment with him. That was so touching. I've also really loved sharing the voice of some of my own community of herbalists with you all. So Rosemary Gladstar, which, as Vincent kindly pointed out to her on live radio, you guys really are the worst, honestly, both of you, that I was geeking out about it for weeks waiting for her to get on the show. So I lost any credibility of being cool at that point completely. So, you know, she's just hugely respected in our community, but so grounded and so gracious with her time and excited by what we're doing here as well, which was so great. And, you know, she talked about the plants calling to people and that once you become aware of that, you kind of can't stop listening to them. And then Amanda, who I know because we trained together, came on the show and said almost exactly the same thing a few weeks later. And then Mo Wild, who I also know and used to work for, came on and said a really similar thing. And I thought, wow, the thread of the plants calling you, common to those who really do the work in nature and are with the plants, you know, as our life work. I just loved that all coming to light. I just thought that was incredibly special to be able to share. Evie, what about you? What are your couple of favorite moments?
Okay, so I think my number one ultimate like favorite moment was when we had Trey Lowe on, and I think it was you, Pamela, that actually asked me to share my story with him because I was kind of saying how his story resonated with me. And when I was sharing it, I could kind of see him really listening. And then I also saw how emotionally it hit him. And that kind of made me think, oh, wow, I can reach people with the story, even someone, you know, not that fame is everything, but even with someone as such like a big status as he has, my story hit him. And me saying that, you know, he really inspires me with his story, and him saying the exact same thing back to me, it was just kind of like a, oh, wow, like I really can reach people. And I think it's changed my mindset I always knew I wanted to help people, but how much I can help people with just a simple story, that's what really, I think that's just my favorite moment overall, because I couldn't stop thinking about it for days, even weeks, and even now, that will never probably leave my mind. And I think the second is less kind of a specific moment and more of a overall impression. I just really loved how different medical fields like herbalism, holistic, breathwork, everything were all kind of given a platform to share, and they weren't given a judgment. We just greeted them all with appreciation and fascination. And as someone that is raised, like, one of my mums works holistically, kind of spiritual health. A lot of people turn that away and think she's a bit mad, but obviously I think she's amazing. Other mum works like with kids directly as more of just a direct therapist. And then obviously Kave, my dad, is doing all of this work. So I've always grown up with so many different perspectives that other people think are a little bit crazy. And I think it's so great that we could give platform to these people to make listeners and anyone else aware of really how valuable the knowledge is. And it's not crazy. It's amazing. Okay, so Vincent, what about you? What are your favorite moments in the series?
I thought Amanda Edmiston was amazing. I really, really loved her storytelling. And one of the things that she said that really stuck with me was how she kind of started in it all by having people from many different cultures and bringing them together and showing them plants. That kind of, like, you know, I don't know, that did something for me where I thought, yeah, that makes so much sense, right? Because we all experience plants, right? It's so visceral. It's so really, you know, you can touch it, right? And you know, yeah, it doesn't really matter where you're from, but when you're looking at a plant together, right, it's that kind of, that binds you, right? There's something sort of like, oh, look, we do have something in similar, you know, something similar. So yeah, I really loved that. And then obviously the fact that she then told us a brilliant story as well, which was amazing. Really opened my eyes again to storytelling. So that was really cool. And then obviously Mo Wild was very inspiring. And that combined with Rosemary's Gladstar's warning around the danger of over-harvesting when you're actually out there gathering, you know, wild plants, I think was very interesting. But yeah, you know, throughout it all, plants connecting people. You know, Stephen Dahmer's episode was great in that respect. So many awesome examples. And then, of course, Pamela's own amazing weekly education of herbal heroes of the week, right? So I think that's given us some great insights in what grows around us and how much of it is edible or has additional health benefits. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Great to think about all those programs, and we've really had some great guests. And it's not all over yet, because next week for the final show of the series, we are really excited to be welcoming Monique Simmons, OBE, Deputy Director of Science at the Royal Botanic Gardens Kew. We know Monique because Sophie has partnered with Kew to have all of our plant formulations tested by them to ensure their purity. Monique's an incredibly well-respected botanist with a love of plant medicine and an incredible career. We cannot wait to hear her speak about plant purity and how it really does matter that you know what you're buying in any over-the-counter product. So please do join us for the last show of this series, and we'd absolutely love to have you with us for that. Just before we go today, a quick reminder of the special portal we've created for you listeners to join Sophie. join.sophie.health/radio, where you'll find all the information you need. That's it from us, and we look forward to being with you next week for the live show on Monday at 3 p.m. UK time.
Money, diamonds, house in different cities, I'm living my wildest dreams. Cooking, smiling, and with all the power, can do what I want, but I'm empty. Baddies got a model movie, options to making a movie scene. I know all the game, but what's it really mean?